Sweat Technique.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
How many teams before you put the Texans on the list of biggest Super Bowl window? 713-780-ESPN. Texter says Branham. Actually, it's spelled B-R-N-N-U-M. Branham? Sounds close enough. Loves Will Levis. What's not to love? He has healthy coffee drinking habits. He threw more touchdowns than he did interception this year. He won two games and a quarterback rating of 81.5. What's not to like about quarterbacks that do that? You don't like 2-10 quarterbacks? You don't like quarterbacks that threw for more touchdowns than interceptions? You don't like quarterback ratings north of 81? What's not to love with Will Levis? Both of you are looking in the phone.
Yeah.
I'm doing talk shows with guys who are looking at their phones.
You know how I know that you're always going to have to fight back on the Will Levis campaign, but I mean, he's got talent in terms of his physical abilities.
Neither one of y'all are listening.
I was just waiting for your Will Levis diatribe.
I heard all the numbers.
Do you want your quarterback to win multiple games?
This is what you do.
I'm just waiting for this to be over. That's why I was looking at my phone.
Let's go item by item about the greatness that is Will Levis. Do you want your quarterback to win multiple games?
Let's just go back to our phones, Joel. he'll let us know when this is over.
Do you like your quarterback to win multiple games?
You
keep going, Jeremy. I'm going to text with Glenn Davis. Go ahead. Keep going.
Soccer matters, huh?
Yeah, soccer does matter.
But quarterbacks don't? Quarterbacks with multiple wins in a season don't matter? Quarterbacks with multiple touchdowns in a season.
Joel, is he done yet? No, he's not done yet.
Touchdowns and interceptions, I remind you. Quarterback rating of 8. Adding me quarterbacks. You know Will Levis led the NFL in a certain statistic this year? Can you guess it?
No.
Legitimately, can you guess it? Can you guess the stat that Will Levis led in the NFL? It's actually a positive. It's not a negative.
Me not caring about this take?
Well, it's a texture. We're doing what the audience wants us to do here, Brian.
40-plus yard pass plays?
The longest touchdown of the year.
Okay.
98 yards. You know why? Because Levis has a howitzer. What's not to love about Levis?
How long was the ball in the air?
I have no idea. He's got a big arm. Levis got a big arm.
I know. I'm just saying. He could have thrown it 2 yards and get credit for 98.
I don't know the pass, but if I had to bet, I bet you it's a deep ball to Calvin Ridley.
Oh, it was definitely to Calvin Ridley because I remember that play, but I don't remember how long the ball was in the air.
Yeah. I mean, he's got a big arm. He's got one of the biggest arms in the NFL.
No, he does. I kid, but he does.
Massive. I want to look up the Will Levis 98-yard touchdown because now I'm curious. But that's why I love Will Levis because he puts a little bit of fat into his coffee, which is good for everybody. A little fatty coffee never hurt nobody. A lot of people in the health industry think that's good.
Yeah, people have said that.
Howitzer, he's won multiple games. I want my quarterback to win multiple games, not a singular game. That's a check. And then he threw more touchdowns than interceptions, which might surprise you. All right, 713-780-ESPN. I removed the tongue from my cheek. But yeah, what's not to love about Levis? Eagles, then the Ravens, says a texter. Detroit, Denver, turning ship around. Where would you have Denver in their Super Bowl window?
Not in the top
not there
eight.
Yet.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I think I've turned the corner on Sean Payton. I hated the way that Sean Payton left New Orleans. I thought he was a bit overrated, like kind of carried by Drew Brees. This season he just had really changed my opinion of what I think of Sean Payton as an old ball coach.
I agree with you because I had serious reservations about the whole Russell Wilson deal and screaming at his quarterback and, you know, could he fit into sitting out and everything, could he get back into the NFL and would his offense still be able to percolate the way he did in New Orleans? But credit to him. That was a surprising turnaround.
I like that.
And turning, you know, and turning the entire thing around with the quarterback that he had his eye on, that he handpicked, that worked out in Bo Nix. So I give him a ton of credit.
Yeah, I think you're good.
I don't think the window's open yet, so I don't think we start the clock.
I don't like their roster, really.
Yeah, I think that's part of the problem. Like, their best wide receiver is Courtland Sutton. If he's not 30, he's about to be 30. They don't have a lot of running back right now. Defense is great.
Yeah.
But looking at this list from Bucky Brooks, I don't think I'd have the Broncos ahead of any of them. But falling at maybe 9 or 10, I could make the argument for that. I think they're top third of the league, but I wouldn't put them top 8.
I mean, the governor here is probably Bo Nix. Like, how good can Bo Nix be? But I wouldn't put them in the top 8. quite yet. I think that they need to improve that roster. Texter, Sugar Bowl window. Texans should try winning two playoff games in the postseason first. They're ineligible for the Sugar Bowl. Eagles, Ravens, Detroit, Atlanta, Kansas City. And
Atlanta.
He has the Texans
six. Atlanta's interesting.
That's some big Penix energy.
That
is. If you're thinking Atlanta number four,
you really
you think
a lot of
highly
Penix.
Of Michael Penix.
Yeah, you really love some Penix.
Do have some weapons there, young weapons.
Oh, the weapons are great. It's just
great.
Drake London and Bijan are both great.
I would agree there. Right.
And they might have swung and missed at the at Pitts.
That's the thing.
They
I think
missed
Pitts
on
is
Pitts.
Highly
yeah,
overrated.
He's right. I'm writing him off.
I think he's a bum. Texter says the Texans should be 31. That's not very nice. Kenny Westbrook, apparently, 98-yard touchdown for Will Levis. Look at that.
Oh, wasn't Calvin Ridley?
Will Levis is making a Kenny Westbrook good. How many people in the history of the league have made a Kenny Westbrook a touchdown machine? One. Will Levis.
I'm going to text Glenn Davis.
So this list, it has the top eight teams with their window open. Philly's at one, Detroit's at two, Kansas City's three, Baltimore's four. The Green Bay Packers, they must love Jordan Love. Mm. They're at five. The Chargers at six, Washington seven, and the Texans at eight. Do you think it's fair and appropriate to have the Texans at number eight?
I do, but I think I had a pretty similar list. Did they have Cincinnati on their list?
No, they do not.
I had Cincinnati on my list as well as Detroit, Philly, KC.
Who you removing?
Washington, Baltimore, Green Bay, Houston.
Is that in order?
No. But I think Houston's right around eighth.
Okay.
I would have them in the top eight, but and this is not a shot because one of my co-hosts or one of my hosts roots for them, but I would remove the Packers and put in the
Jordan
Bengals.
Love sucks.
One of my hosts. He just called you one
of
his hosts.
I corrected myself. So I corrected myself. But yeah, I would. Yeah, phrasing probably wasn't the best. But I would remove the Packers and put in the Bengals, and then otherwise, I think this list is pretty good.
I don't think the Chargers should be on here.
See, that's I removed the Chargers.
I don't know. I like the quarterback and the coach. That's
Herbert's
kinda,
never won a playoff game.
It's a completely fair argument. I know this
he's
is
won
more,
as many playoff games as Will Levis.
This is 100% more. It's 100% projection. You're 100%. It's completely guesswork. It's just kind of a gut feel for mine. But I like the quarterback. I like the head coach. I wouldn't. I could listen to the argument for moving them out, but I like them in the top eight. I think that's fair.
It kind of annoys me how everybody thought that the Chargers was going to roll into NRG and beat the Texans. They were favorites.
Yeah,
they
sure were.
They were.
And the Texans killed
them. Like,
for me, that eliminated the Chargers from any sort of these conversations because of that singular game.
No, I wouldn't move them
singular
down.
Game.
Like they're like,
out of the top eight for me. I'll go Cincinnati ahead of the Chargers.
I
would,
sure.
too.
Yeah, they're not even
too.
On the top eight.
I would,
Cincinnati.
Too.
Yeah. I would have Washington ahead of the Chargers.
I would
Washington
too.
At seven. Yep. Like, yep. I think the Texans are fair here at eight. My biggest beef with this is Chargers at six. I would have them out of the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
Green Bay, for me, is high, too. I don't like them five. Are they top eight? Roughly, but nowhere near top five for me.
But, the wild card is the quarterback. I'm
not a huge Love guy. You've kind of talked me into that.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. So you can have this great young roster, the youngest roster in the league, with all this talent. Now they're on defense, all the receivers, and then you get a Josh Jacobs. And then you still got him as quarterback. And I think that's the hindrance that I don't think that there's any escapability from that kind of makes me wonder if they should be on the top eight.
Yeah, I wouldn't have them in the top
five. I would move them out.
Buffalo belongs in the top eight, but probably closer to eight than number one. And they're not even on this list.
That was the most surprising, I think. I mean, to not – because especially part of what we talked about with why the Chiefs are such a runaway obvious favorite for one – is because the quarterback makes you on this list to exclude Josh Allen and Joe Burrow feels crazy.
And I hate Josh Allen. Hates too strong of a word. I hate the football.
I think you sports hate him.
I postseason hate him.
Okay.
I think he melts down in big moments. I think that his old wild horse comes out in big moments. I think he's done a really good job of corralling that and being able to weather that wild horse storm for most, if not almost all of the year. I think in big moments he melts down. Which is something that bothered him early in his career. Like, remember the Houston Texans playoff game where he was facing off against Deshaun Watson, and he tried to lateral the ball 20 yards downfield as he was being whipped to the ground? He still has that in him in pivotal moments. They were trying to make the case, not the game that they were eliminated by Kansas City, but remember Baltimore, that two-point conversion, he got stuffed, and he was thinking about pitching it.
Yep.
And they're like, oh, look at Josh Allen, he's matured. And then he does pretty much the same thing against Kansas City. put the ball in harm's way over and over. But to my point, Buffalo absolutely belongs in the top eight of Super Bowl windows.
I thought that he kind of changed the narrative a lot this year because the turnovers were so much less.
See, that's, to me, what he does in the regular season does not matter. Doesn't matter for me. Yes, he has gotten better at protecting the ball in the regular season. But my theory is that he gets reckless in moments where he has to be clutch or really good. And you always point to that Kansas City game where they were in a shootout and, you know, he went toe-to-toe with Mahomes, and he did.
Overtime.
He did. He was fantastic in that game. And his postseason numbers are overall good. But I can't trust him to win multiple playoff games. Four playoff games you got to win, or three if you get the bye. You got to win three against the best competition in the league to win a Super Bowl. I don't think he's capable of doing that. Time will tell. But does Buffalo belong in the top eight Super Bowl windows? Yeah. They should be ahead of the Chargers. They should be ahead, I think, of Washington. They should be ahead of the Texans. They should be ahead of the Packers. Yep. They're absolutely firmly in the top five. Even from the biggest Allen hater, they should be top five.
It's just interesting that both Lamar and Josh Allen have to still kind of escape from that narrative of the fact that they could be amazing during the regular season, but until one of them wins it all, or either one of them get to a Super Bowl, that they're just not going to be able to escape that tag.
They're not. And you can make the case. My argument about Allen could be more appropriate for Lamar Jackson.
Indeed, that's what I was thinking.
That's fine. Like, yeah, you would be accurate there.
Of the two, Lamar certainly melted down more in this postseason, in my opinion.
And overall, Allen's been far better in the postseason. Overall, 100%. Statistically. And it's not an argument. It's not a debate.
And Lamar's been more dominant in the regular season. I mean, he's dominated regular seasons to win multiple MVP trophies, and then in the playoffs, he just disintegrated.
I mean, the argument's really very accurate for both of them. Allen's playoff number's far better than Lamar's, though. And Allen robbed Lamar Jackson of an MVP this year. He was like those thieves in Miami that stole Beck's. And you see that? What's his name? Beck? What's Beck's first name? The Georgia quarterback transferred to Miami?
Carson Beck.
And then what's the Cavender twins? Which one is he dating?
I don't know.
One of the Cavender twins. Yeah. You didn't hear about this?
I thought it was Kevin Dahl. Either way, no, I didn't hear about the robbery.
I don't remember her name. But Carson Beck and one of the basketball playing twins, they had three cars stolen today.
Three.
After they broke up the ring that was robbing all the athletes of their stuff when they were playing games.
I don't know. It might be a kind of a blessing in disguise to take away a car from a Georgia player, though.
Well, he's
not
Miami
a Georgia
now.
Player. He went to Miami. I think he went for the girl.
Oh, yeah. Brian, that's inappropriate.
Okay,
we're not reading that sort of stuff on the air. 713-7803. But lives ended.
I know.
Of the
that's
Georgia
why we should not allow
stuff.
Georgia players to drive, even if they're former Georgia. Take away
the
cars.
That's in poor taste.
Steal away
Brian.
Still more of their cars.
This is a tasteful show. We don't talk about that kind
Goodness.
Of stuff. Everything
we don't have to care about grammar and stuff, but we're going to care about that kind of stuff.
We're not low hanging fruit. We're not lowbrow. We only the cleanest, most appropriate content.
Classy
on this air. Classy. We're not callous.
Not sassy.
And distasteful. Class. That's gross of you, Brian. So anybody in the AFC East? I think Buffalo is the only team in the AFC East that is in this conversation. What about AFC North? Baltimore, we mentioned.
Yep.
Pittsburgh, Cincy. We mentioned Cincy. I think
Cincy. Yeah.
Pittsburgh, Cleveland.
Not Cleveland. No.
Anybody in the AFC South?
No.
No.
Not even the Texans.
Well, I think
the Texans, aside from the Texans, no. I think the Texans are in the conversation.
You can move out Packers, Chargers, put in Bills, Bengals, and keep the Texans in, I think.
Top eight-ish?
I think the Texans are right at eight.
Yeah, I think it's right where they're at, too. Okay, moving to the AFC West. Kansas City, we had a vote for Denver. We had a vote for the Chargers. I say no
on all of them, besides KC.
Brady's not going to do nothing. Raiders, NFC East, Eagles, Commanders, any votes for Cowboys or Giants?
No.
NFC North, Detroit, we mentioned Green Bay. I wouldn't sleep on Minnesota.
Minnesota's got a lot of talent again, but now they got to figure out the quarterback.
It's first-time starting quarterback. I don't know.
If he starts.
Look what O'Connell did with Darnold.
I mean, they might try and start Daniel Jones this year.
No.
They're
saying that if Darnold, they're intrigued by still having conversations with Darnold, but if he gets in that $40 million plus a year range, that they think they got a cheaper option than Daniel Jones.
I think that's plan B.
I think
Daniel Jones will be on the roster, but I think McCarthy ultimately will be the starter there.
If he's healthy?
Yeah. Chicago, I mean, they have a lot to prove.
Not yet.
No.
Anybody in the NFC South? Like, somebody texted Atlanta. I'd put no.
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 Anybody in the NFC West?
LA, see, San Francisco is breaking up because of all the big contracts and the guys are breaking down and guys want out. I think it's kind of the beginning of the end for San Francisco.
Yeah, Purdy's about to come up on a deal.
And they, don't know what they're going to do with him.
Debo's old and wants out. Kittle's over 30 years old. I would obviously Christian McCaffrey can't stay healthy. I would vote no on all, the entire NFC West.
Yeah, I would too. So that gets us our list there. Tyler and Conroe Allen was led down by his team in the AFC Championship. To be fair, he can't catch and throw it. Didn't he turn it over once, twice in that game, and also threw like three near picks?
His first two passes both should have been picked.
Yeah,
I believe.
He did.
No, he did. That is true, but I don't think he officially turned it over.
I thought he turned it over at least once.
Yeah, I didn't think he had a turnover, but I know that he should have had two picks in his first two throws.
Also, he put the ball on the ground,
and he got it back.
Yeah, right? he fumbled it three times,
never lost it.
Yeah, he got it back.
He definitely had near turnovers, but never turned it over.
Yeah, he didn't turn it over in that game, but they lost. He had the ball, chance to take the lead late. Couldn't get it done.
Dawson Knox didn't help him out.
Couldn't get it done.
Or was it Dalton Kincaid?
Dalton Kincaid.
Was it Dalton Kincaid?
That would have been a great catch. The ball was severely underthrown. The coach in Buffalo holds them back, in my opinion. Could have beat the Chiefs if they would have kept running with James Cook instead of trying to force Josh Allen to be the hero. That's you can't have Josh Allen be the hero. The meltdown of the postseason is called Pat Mahomes. He's got three titles, dude. Like, we're not calling Pat Mahomes a meltdown. He's got three rings.
No, he's saying Josh Allen's meltdown as he's facing Mahomes.
Okay, yes. Fair enough. My bad.
His kryptonite.
Are you taking C.J. Stroud over Josh Allen?
No.
No, you can't do that.
I can't. Although C.J. Stroud does have two playoff wins in 2 years. C.J. Stroud in 2 years.
Josh Allen has more than that.
Yeah, but not in his first 2 years. Josh Allen's had the luxury of playing longer. Okay. C.J. Stroud is ahead of where Allen was after 2 years.
100%.
Uh-huh.
But do I think that Stroud gets to the ceiling that Allen's at now? Probably not.
So he's never going to win an MVP?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
I think Vegas would have no as the favorite.
Probably like at minus 130?
Yeah.
What would yes be? What would the odds be on yes?
Plus 300?
I think it'd be less than that. I think it'd be like
plus 200. I think he's got a shot.
Sure, he's got a shot. I mean, what would the odds be for him to win it? I think plus 200 is the number.
For his entire career. Not just next year, but his entire career?
Yeah.
Yeah, somewhere between plus 2 and 300.
Yeah, probably.
I think he'll be in the running a couple of years.
Yeah, but I mean, we're kind of saying the same thing. Like, we're saying that right.
plus
200
is not going to be in the running a few times. Yeah.
Key from L.A., don't sleep on the Rams. Okay.
Here we go.
But Stafford's going to New York
Now they're saying that they look like they're going to try and keep him.
Even if they do keep him, he's trying to quit every year. McVay is talking about going to the
to get an extension.
Okay, he's talking about retiring every year. McVay's talking about going to the booth. I don't see how you can say they have a super long
McVay
window.
McVay hasn't done that in a while.
But still, you don't
McVay's
know.
McVay's like locked in.
If you don't know the future of your quarterback and your head coach, and it changes every year.
No, you're not being fair to McVay. Like, McVay's been on the record and has talked about how he entertained that for a little bit, but he's been rejuvenated and he's locked in.
Throw the McVay thing out. You don't know who your quarterback is in 2 years. You can't say the window's super long.
But he's went to two Super Bowls with
multiple quarterbacks. He's still
top 10
quarterbacks in the league right now. If he stays.
Top 10? Nah.
But does it matter? McVay got to a Super Bowl with Goff and Stafford. Do I think that McVay can find another quarterback to get to a Super Bowl with eventually? Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when they find guys like Puka and some of the guys they've been drafting lately, too, that they find in the third round on both sides of the ball that are studs.
That doesn't make him top eight.
No, but I'm saying
not right now.
I know, but that's kind of getting to the point of the listener that texted in. I mean, I do think McVay keeps you in the upper half, regardless of who his quarterback is. But top eight, when you don't know if your quarterback's going to retire each year, I can't put you there.
Yeah, I'm just poking holes in your argument. I don't like any slander on Sean McVay.
He did think about leaving to go to the
booth. He did, a few years ago.
That was several years ago.
Yeah, several years ago. He's since went on the record be like, yeah, I'm in. I'm locked in.
Married a supermodel, had a kid, just decided to settle into coaching.
I think Sean McVay is my favorite non-D'Amico head coach in the NFL.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I like him a lot. I like the fact that he's not afraid to say
I'd probably go Dan Campbell, but McVay's up there. I like grit. Run the ball. Establish it.
I like LaFleur, even though I don't like the quarterback.
I like beautiful lawns.
It's not a homer, because I'm critical of them all over the place, but I like LaFleur as a coach and a play caller.
You're a blonde guy, Jeremy?
I do have it. My wife is a beautiful blonde, so I guess I do have a type. I like beautiful blondes, and I think McVay checks that box. Maybe that's why I like Will Levis.
Make sure when you go home, you compare your wife to Sean McVay.
McVay's like bleach blonde hair.
He might bleach it, but I don't think he's got reddish hair.
He's not dirty blonde. No,
he's more dirty
not
blonde
gingery.
Than bleach blonde.
Absolutely, not even close.
Yes, that does
That's
look kind of reddish
red
brown.
Hair. Are you colorblind?
Like reddish brown?
I wouldn't call it reddish. I would say it's more dirty blonde than beach blonde, but it's not reddish.
Yeah, it's not red. as I, my wife's gonna be like, why were you looking at so many Sean McVay photos?
Just compare them. Make sure you compare their beauty and their blondness to each other.
Sweetie, we were just talking about how I had a blonde, beautiful type.
I'm into blondes.
I was
like
comparing you,
Sean McVay
and Will Levis. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's make mock drafts great again. Everybody loves when we do this. So who do the Texans pick at 25? We'll discuss next. It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You found the Killer Bees, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Texter says, calling it now, Cowboys tank this year and get Arch in next year's draft. Are we so sure that Arch can be a great pro?
I haven't seen anything that guarantees any
of that.
I don't
think he comes out in the next draft anyway.
Well, you're a Texas homer. You would say that.
No, I mean, Peyton played 4 years. I think Arch is not going to try to come out after 1 year as a starter. I mean, unless he's just absolutely unbelievable, national title Heisman, sure.
Hasn't the family come out and said something like that they were, that they're in support of him staying 4 years?
Yeah. I mean,
Did they? I thought that was the transfer portal.
No.
Well, they've been in support. They were definitely in support of him not starting right away. They didn't want him to get rushed into it. But I think it's better than 50-50 he plays a senior year.
Is he going to be a redshirt sophomore?
No, he didn't redshirt. He'll be a junior.
I thought he redshirted his freshman year.
No, I don't think so.
He played 4 games or less, didn't he?
Well, maybe they could. If you can retroactively redshirt, then maybe. But I don't think they redshirted him during the season.
Yeah, it did say last year was a sophomore year. He absolutely qualified for a redshirt, though, because he only played in 2 games.
Yeah, no, he qualifies. I don't know if you could do that retroactively.
That's weird that he wasn't a redshirt freshman. Like, why would they do that?
I think they wanted to keep the door open. I mean, in case...
What door does it close by not doing it?
Well, I think the idea was, I mean, Quinn got hurt the year before. They had to go to Malik Murphy.
Yeah, but you don't have to, like, take off the pads. Like, you can be ready to go. And if you don't play in more than 4 games, you can now redshirt. You don't have to like press a button at the start of the year and you can't play the guy at all.
It might have been
up to 4 games plus a bowl game.
It might have been an agreement with the family. I'm
Maybe.
Not sure.
That's weird. Because like, yeah. Why wouldn't you keep the year?
I don't know. There's not a good answer for that.
Yeah,
I mean, I think the team knows though that even if he does stay for his senior year, he's not staying 5 years.
What if he's not a pro though?
That's like, the biggest thing. If he's got to build up his stock and prove that he can play on the next level.
Like, what if he's not good and then he like wants an extra year? Why wouldn't I guess they're not thinking that way. Maybe, but still, that's odd. All right, let's make mock drafts great again. We're not going to do this every single day because the Texans are picking 25. But whenever there's a great mock draft out there, like a Lance Zierlein. Or like a Mel Kiper, or in this case, like a Daniel Jeremiah, which I actually think, no offense to Lance, I think Daniel Jeremiah is the best mocker that exists. Remember Daniel Jeremiah predicted the Stroud 2 Texan trade up to number 3. Remember that?
He's had some success in terms of his draft boards and his picking of Super Bowl
Oh, really?
Matchups.
I didn't know that about the Super Bowl. But he and Lance did a podcast. I think they do several, like in draft season.
Lance
are always
knows him as DJ.
Very good.
DJ.
Yeah.
They're tight.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, I know Daryl Johnson likes Moose. Yeah. So, I mean, I understand having those kind of bonds with people that might be popular to some that, you know, they're just, you know, they put, their,
like you,
they
mean,
put
Moose,
on their pants one,
you
foot,
and Joe
one leg
Burrow,
at a time.
You got a lot with a lot of people.
AI.
AI, yeah.
Allen Iverson. Cooper Manning.
Wasn't there someone else you locked eyes with somewhere or, you know, an elevator? Or...
That was Burrow. He said that.
I thought, yeah, and then the Applebee's or whatever.
Greg Maddux and I shared an elevator. No, it was TGI Fridays with Allen Iverson and I. Downtown Philadelphia. Feet away from Rocky's statue in downtown Philadelphia. No,
what year was this?
Greg Maddux and I did share an elevator in San Diego across from Petco Park.
Hmm. What year is this with AI?
I don't remember.
Something
over, probably about 10, 12 years ago. The I do remember that Yao Ming was playing for the Rockets and they were playing LeBron.
Okay.
And then we went there to watch the game, and then AI happened to be there. But I don't remember who LeBron played for. It must have been Cleveland.
I feel a little worried for AI that he was eating at a TGI Fridays.
Oh, no.
What do you mean, no, no,
they
no,
like,
no?
They like he and his guys used to like that, and then they'd head to the casinos.
And they were also
You'd
doing things in the
stores,
car
yeah.
in between appetizers. They went to
what
the car
several
times.
What was the one that BY got in a fight at?
I don't remember.
Didn't Vince Young get in a fight?
Oh, it was Cheesecake Factory, probably. He
no,
was there
it
all
was,
the time.
I think it
too
was
too many options.
I think it was not TGI Fridays. What's the other one?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Just like a TGI Friday. Applebee's. I think it might have been or Applebee's or Chili's. But there was like a bar fight. And he got sucker punched.
The thing I remember with VY, he was at the Cheesecake Factory like every single day.
But then when he was going bankrupt, he said that he needed his budget for going to Applebee's or whatever on Friday nights. And it was like thousands and thousands of dollars when he had to declare.
Different strokes for different folks.
How many times over would you have to order the entire menu at Applebee's to spend thousands and thousands of dollars?
How many people are hanging?
For you individually, 50. There's a lot of people in this posse, it's not going to be...
Yeah, he's got to buy some stuff.
He's probably buying drinks.
Yeah, for Huff and I was trying to Mons avoid Taylor, that. All those guys.
Phil.
Daniel Jeremiah has the Tennessee Titans taking Abdul Carter, number one.
I've heard several people say that he might surpass both quarterbacks as the number one overall.
I think that they're going to trade down and somebody's going to trade up for a QB. I don't think Abdul Carter goes one. I think one of the quarterbacks will. I think it'll be Cam Ward. I think somebody's going to blow Tennessee's socks off. And I think Cam Ward's going to go number one. Tennessee will trade down. But they have Tennessee going Abdul Carter. Cleveland goes Cam Ward. Travis Hunter goes to the Giants. Will Campbell, the best offensive lineman in the draft, goes number four. Mason Graham, number five. Shedeur Sanders goes number six. Tyler Warren, number seven, the tight end. I think it's too high for a tight end. Scrolling down here, notable names along the way. The McMillan, the Arizona receiver, he goes number 19. Ashton Jeanty, 21. Jeanty falls to 21.
Dallas?
To Pittsburgh. Oh. Omari and Hampton, the second-best running back in the draft, goes 22. Travion Henderson goes number 24 to the Vikings. So now the Texans are on the clock. And how we do this, and how we make mock drafts great again, is we give you the option of who the mocker picked for the Texans, but then also the next three picks. Daniel Jeremiah has the Texans taking Emeka Egbuka, wide receiver from Ohio State. I think everybody would be happy with that. I also think that, like, when we celebrate mock drafts, I think fans usually get happier when it's a skill position guy as opposed to, like, a defensive tackle. Like, you just open up this to the poll, right? I posted the poll. You make the pick, Houston, at Jeremy Branham. The skill position guy is always going to get more votes over the defensive tackle or the offensive guard. But he has Egbuka going 25. The next three guys that we get to choose from, Darius Alexander, the defensive tackle from Toledo, Shamar Stewart, the edge from Texas A&M, a wrecking crew, Giggum, 12th man defense, and then Donovan Jackson, offensive guard. That's basketball. Offensive guard, Ohio State. So you got those four, Egbuka, Alexander, Stewart, Jackson. Which of the four are you picking, Blankers?
I think you know where I'm coming from because everything that I've heard and every champ, we've talked about it already. I'm already in on a receiver in the first round. I want Egbuka, and I want him to be, whether it's your fill-in for Tank initially and more, but they need receiver help. It looks like that they've already, you know, moved on from Diggs, and I think that's the pick that I would go with.
You think they've moved on from Diggs?
I do. I mean, if you heard Nick the other day, it sounded like he was talking about him past tense, and he was basically talking about, you know, we got along while he was here. It was great having him, you know, and then someone, I think, kind of followed up with that, and he said, I mean, I'm never saying never, and the door's closed, but.
Yeah, because like all the headlines are like USA Today, Casario absolutely open to the idea of Diggs. NBC Sports, door is always open for Stephon Diggs. NFL.com, absolutely open. Bleacher Report, absolutely open. I got a different read off of that.
I felt that there was a lot of past tense in it when I heard it and when I read some of it, and I just think that because of the fact he's coming off injury too, and maybe even if they bring him back because of Tank situation, I think that Egbuka makes a lot of sense.
He was on with PNP yesterday morning. The quote, Pro Football Talk, I had a good relationship with Steph and his representation. I mean, that is past tense. Yeah. We enjoyed Pestons, having Steph, we need MLA Paul to call us about past participles here. I had a good relationship with Steph and his reputation. We enjoyed having Steph in the building, so the door is always open. A number of players have expressed sentiments and interest in potentially returning to our team next season, so we never ruled anything out. We're going to be open-minded and work through the process here. Things will probably pick up over the next few weeks.
That feels,
There was a lot of past tense.
It was not only the past tense, but that feels like the way to compliment the player when you know he's not coming back. I enjoyed my time with him, good relationship, doors always open, but we're not going to bring him back. And maybe that's a conversation with the agent, like, hey, how much is he going to want? He threw out a number, and Casario's like, okay, well, on to the next one.
Interesting. Yeah, I see it differently. I feel like he's just not going to rule anything out at the moment. Like,
that's possible. I guess it's in part, where do you believe Casario is on the Dana Brown, you know, scale of never believe anything they say about, you know, Alex Bregman or any other free agents.
Now, like, if we MLA Paul about it, it does use two sentences in the past tense.
Yeah.
So that is to Blanker's point. I would love to argue against Emeka Egbuka, but it's really hard for me to take any of these other guys. Like, I don't really want to draft the defensive tackle late unless he's like a game changer like Jalen Carter without the off-the-field stuff. I'm not sure Darius Alexander from Toledo is that. Plus, Kasera usually has a power four type, usually an SEC type, maybe Big Ten. So I don't think Alexander's really in the mix here. I don't think they need edge, right? Like, Will Anderson's still here. Daniil Hunter's still going to be here.
Right.
Is there bigger need offensive line over wide receiver? Yes. But do I trust Kasera to draft offensive line? No. So, yeah, I'll be chalk here. Give me a Mike Egbuka.
And I don't know if it means anything to you or not, but from what I've read so far is one of the main positions of depth in this draft is defensive tackle, that maybe in the second round, third round, that the Texans could get, especially if Foley walks. I think Settle's the only one under contract to where if they needed to get a defensive tackle, I think it is a very rich defensive tackle draft.
Yeah. So I'm going to Mickey as well.
Yeah, I'm going to keep it boring and go with the wide receiver just because I don't want the other names on the list. I don't want a defensive lineman because I think they're good there, especially on the edge with the kid from A&M. And then I don't trust Kasera to draft offensive lineman. So it's not really that I have to have, you know, wide receiver, that it has to be Egbuka, but I just don't like the other options here.
Would it sway either one of you if it wasn't Egbuka and it was Golden?
Well, I mean,
I would feel more excited about it.
I know he's not in the mix, but I'm saying, especially for you, Brian, would that be something that excites you more? Or is
a little bit.
Oh, he's a Cougar before he's a Longhorn.
That's what I'm saying for both of you. Because I broke you both in, then you were dismissive.
Texas.
What?
What will say on his draft profile? Wide receiver, Texas.
Yeah, that's just true. Yeah, you got me there. I have nothing.
But all of his experience, where he really honed his craft.
See, I really don't want receiver at 25, but I feel like every single time we're going to do this, it's going to be receiver at 25.
Depending on the other three names. But, yeah, if the other options are defensive lineman and
track it, Brian.
Offensive lineman, sure.
Track it, Brian. Every single time we do this and there's a receiver on the table, track how many times we go receiver.
Okay. I'll put that in the Google Doc.
I opened up a poll already, and already thousands and thousands of votes, /56. Emeka Egbuka, 75% of the vote. Like, he's going to run away with this from a popular vote, like, you know, perspective.
I don't think a lot of people have focused on, like, who's free for them and where the other needs may be. And I think they know it's offensive line and wide receiver. And so I think that they do know that Nick hasn't drafted offensive linemen very well, too. So I think, and like you said, skill positions are sexy,
mm-hmm.
and they're all going to lean that way.
I think it's a skill position bias here. People have thoughts on this. Also, when we return, who are the players with a first-round grade? Like, you have to have 32 guys go in the first round, but how many of them have a real first-round grade? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Texter says, Kelvin Banks!
He'll be gone way before the Texans.
Went to Summer Creek. Yes. Nick Kasera does not have great history drafting offensive linemen from Umo ISD.
That's very true. 1 of 1? Or 0 for 1?
0 for 1. Kelvin Banks, also from Humble ISD. Humble ISD's put out some offensive linemen. Is it Cosme? Plays for Washington. He went to Texas. He was a Houston commit, followed Herman over to Texas. He was from Atascocita. He's in the league. Humble ISD put out some offensive linemen now.
The swinging miss, Kenyon Green, isn't he from Atascocita? I mean, I know you're mentioning it. I know you're mentioning it that it's in the same conference, but I wasn't sure if you mentioned which school.
Yeah, we didn't. Ask BMAC why Longhorns aren't playing a spree game this year. Being soft?
I think it's unnecessary. I didn't read Sark's full reason for it, but honestly, I think it's unnecessary.
There's another big school that's not playing a spring game. I can't remember who it was.
I mean, I get the idea of it because it's practice. It's maybe harder reps and better competition that you're going to get in a regular practice, but it's also additional risk for injury. So I'm fine with them not doing it.
Ohio State also didn't play a spring game.
So two of the final four teams then, including the national champ.
The problem is these universities, they could sell out stadiums. They could sell out stadiums.
Texas and Ohio State certainly can. They turn it away.
Is this a straight revenue grab?
Well, they're not doing it.
I mean, I know that I saw the article. I know there's schools that aren't doing it now, but is because with the amount of time that they still practice, is the only reason to do it just a straight revenue grab?
No, I mean, it's a reason, especially for the bigger programs. But like other programs, they do want the players to get
experience a game-ish game day.
They feel like it's developmental. But apparently these schools are not doing it because of tampering. They feel like if they're backup players, they might get looked at by other schools.
Oh, and this is the NIL transfer portal thing.
It's a transfer portal thing. Because there is another portal that opens up after the spring game.
Right.
So it looks like they don't want to showcase their players to a national audience, and then all of a sudden their third, fourth string developmental freshman or sophomore gets picked up by South Carolina.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it does make some sense. They need I wonder if you could – I mean, the calendar for college football plus the academic calendar makes it very difficult to move things around. But it'd be good if they could move the spring game to post that next transfer window opening up.
That would make some sense.
Makes some sense. USC also not playing. Nebraska's not playing either. Yeah, I wouldn't call them big time, though. Diggs looks healthy with Cardi B, says Tony on the phony. I did see a rumor out there today that Stephon Diggs might sign with the Giants to be closer to his boo.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I was thinking he should be closer to, whatever. That's not a good joke. I'm going to bite my tongue.
See, that mock was interesting to me. Who's playing quarterback for the Giants next year? If they go
Matt Stafford,
they're going to have to make a trade or do something, or maybe Aaron Rodgers, because if they're going to go with a wide receiver or a corner or a combo, who they have at quarterback?
Yeah, they're signing Sam Darnold.
Could
maybe
be.
So.
I definitely don't think
Rodgers
they go
Russell Wilson.
I can't see Daboll going with journeyman quarterback knowing that he's got to win this year, he's done. Same thing with the GM, Joe Shane. Like, if they don't win this year, both of them are fired. So they're not going journeyman whatever.
But is there a fix anywhere?
I think the Giants trade up to number one. That's the team that I think trades up to number one.
You either got to trade.
Tennessee would still get Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, because they'd only be moving down two spots.
I think that's what's going to happen.
I don't think the Giants can go into the season without making a big swing at quarterback.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's going to be Cam Ward. I think they're going to trade up to number one, draft Cam Ward, put him with Malik Nabers, bring in Stephon Diggs, have Tyrone Tracy. Not a bad offense.
No.
It's the beginnings of a pretty good offense.
Assuming their line
sure.
can hold their own.
And Cam Ward would have to be good. But they built up their offensive line last year. That was the whole thing of like letting Barkley go. Now, they weren't very good.
Nope.
The most special tape I watched was that of Luther Burden. I would not pass up on him. I do like him. I'd be happy with him at 25. A lot of texters are saying that Manning was redshirted.
Yeah, maybe he was. It's just I don't ever remember seeing it on the graphic, and I don't ever remember seeing news about it. So I guess maybe it was done quietly. I don't know.
Stat came out. There's a better chance of this asteroid hitting Earth than the Cowboys winning the Super Bowl. Keith from L.A., dang, Brian, rich people can't eat at TGI Fridays.
It's just weird. Like, I'm not trying to downgrade TGF Fridays, but if I had Allen Iverson money, I would not be eating at TGF Fridays.
Yeah.
Probably a lot more Fogo de Chao's and a lot less TGF Fridays and Bloomin' Onions.
This texture says that Cardi B lives in L.A. Not the article that I read, and I just Googled it, and Google's never wrong. It says that Cardi B has homes in Atlanta, New Jersey, New York, and the Dominican Republic. None of those are L.A.
No,
they're not. So I'm going to trust Google over you, texture. No offense. Love you. I'm sure I love you. But Google says that you're wrong. I trust Google more. So Matt Miller had the list of first-round grades in the NFL draft. He has only 12 players that have first-round grades in this upcoming NFL draft. Would you like to hear these 12 players?
Sure.
None of them are quarterbacks. He doesn't have a single quarterback with a first-round grade. One running back, Ashton Jeanty. One receiver. He has Travis Hunter, which he gives Travis Hunter's comp, Odell Beckham. I don't see Odell Beckham whenever I watch Travis Hunter play.
He gets a lot of extra love as a receiver that I guess to that point, I don't see it. I feel like his strongest position is defensive back.
I think so, too. Tyler Warren, Colston Loveland, the two tight ends. He has two tackles. Will Campbell from LSU, Kelvin Banks, who the text said from Texas. No interior offensive lineman. Three edge rushers, Abdul Carter, Jalen Walker, Mikel Williams, both from Georgia. One defensive tackle, Mason Graham. Two cornerbacks, Will Johnson. How do you say Barron's first name?
Jahdae.
Jahdae Barron from Texas, and then no safeties. So those are the 12 players with a first-round grade. I think Castillo is going to want to trade back.
I think you're right.
I think he's going to want to trade out of the first round and acquire multiple mid-round picks.
Yeah, I think that's probably a really good possibility. And I think towards the end of the first round, if there's some receivers hovering or there's some teams that you know want to bump up a little bit, if he can add an extra second or an extra third as well, I definitely think that seems like his kind of mantra to do. And you know, look, if that's the way the draft's going to fall and you can add a couple of – if you get second and third rounders or a second or a third, depending on what you do when you move down, I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm almost always in favor of trade downs, so I wouldn't mind that at all. TGA Fridays went out of business as a texter. It's too bad. They used to have – what was it, the Jack Daniels chicken?
There's still one in Humble.
I thought that went out of business.
I don't think so. I'll check on the way home, but I don't think so.
Sometimes you want Vic and Anthony. Sometimes you want James Coney Island, Brian.
JCI now.
When do you ever want James Coney Island?
JCI Grill.
Yeah, it's JCI Grill now. Yeah.
Almost never.
Yeah, I can't think of the last time I was like, man, let me go get some James
Coney
Island.
I don't think that was the point, though. I think the point was sometimes you want the high-end, top-notch restaurant. Sometimes you want to slum it a little fast food.
Okay, sure, but when you put into example, you're never choosing the low end.
You're acting a lot like MLA Paul right now. You're acting a lot like MLA
Paul. I would never correct
MLA
your grammar.
Paul. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Bad Take Boulevard. What belongs on Bad Take Boulevard this week? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9, HD2. Time to welcome some new takes.
Right this way.
To Bad Take Boulevard.
If only there was something in your head to control the things you say.
It's the dumbest argument ever.
With the Killer Bees.
Can I just say that I'm an idiot for listening to you?
We are a bunch of dumbs around here. Brian, you lead off Bad Take Boulevard.
Was it the Jeff Bezos thing?
No. What? No. What would happen?
Oh, I made a joke about you trusting Jeff Bezos when you were talking about Google, and then I realized, like, oh, he doesn't run Google, idiot.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even catch that
one. Yeah. All right. Well, self-reported.
What other bad takes did you have that you think are the reasons that you're on Bad Take Boulevard?
Honestly, I don't remember.
Someone was killing you the other day.
The Jennifer Aniston thing is far too removed at this point.
Yeah, but it's still a bad opinion.
I stand by it.
Friday's closed in Humble, says the texter.
I'll drive by tonight and report. I don't think so.
We got feet on the ground. TGI Friday's.
I mean, I live 2 miles past there, so I'll see.
First bad take. Do you see what Delta Airlines is offering the passengers that were involved in this plane that landed in Toronto that rolled over, finished belly up?
A TJF gift card?
Pretty much. They offered them $30,000 per passenger.
$30,000?
Correct.
Wow.
I'm going to need seven figures.
Yeah, I'm gonna probably say that if I, aside from legal fees and your lawyers, I still think I'm coming out ahead on that deal.
You're asking me, you're offering me 30? I'm asking for a million.
I mean,
a million. We can settle for six figures.
I called Jim Adler at that point, the hammer.
Jim Adler specialize in airplane turnovers?
I don't know. I would trust him, though. He's going to hammer him. Get that money.
$30,000 is light.
Let me do it for you, Brian.
Yeah, he'd do it. I was set
hammered
you up.
Hammered him for $18.33.
What an insulting offer.
Yeah. You hear so many cases of people get involved with wrecks with semis, and they make six figures easy. There's no way this should be 30.
I'd be rolling out of that plane, limping around.
You got the neck brace on?
Neck brace, can't move my neck. My back's killing me.
Once you took a deep breath and said, thank God I survived this thing, that's the first thing I'm doing is someone's paying for this a big way.
At least six figures for that. So, Delta, you make the list for that insulting offer to those passengers you turned their life.
You just made the list!
You see where KFC's moving?
Yes.
They're moving to Texas. You know what KFC stands for?
Yes, Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Kentucky Fried Chicken
Not any longer.
Is moving its TFC. Headquarters to Texas. They should change their name. The Colonel.
You know that, when you see it now, there's a lot of them, the truck stop KFCs are with a Pizza Hut, and they're saying Pizza Hut is moving, too, to Texas.
I think they're owned by the same people.
Yeah, they are.
I forget the name of
Pepsi, too.
Is it Yum? I think Yum.
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
Yeah, that's the sponsor for Louisville Stadium, Yum Arena, yep. I think, or the Yum Center. Yeah. So they're all moving to Texas. But it's just funny that Kentucky Fried Chicken is now going to be headquartered in Texas. So, Colonel,
you just made the list.
From your grave. You're rolling over in your grave, making the list that no one's off limits on Bad Take Boulevard. High knees. Referee Jeffrey Anderson. Oh, yeah. High knees. He injured his knee running around in his hotel room. Another example of why none of you should work out. We should not work out. Everybody tries to get in the gym. It's going to add years to the life. Helps your heart. No. Working out is overrated. All you do is injure yourself. High knees, Jeffrey Anderson, you made the list for working out.
Made the list.
If you're going to stretch your knees out like that, don't most hotels have a gym?
Yeah.
And or areas where you can probably do that safely?
Especially, I mean, he's probably staying in pretty nice hotels. High knees.
What did he do? Trip over the...
He was back last night, though.
The desk?
High knee in his way up
to
the floor.
Oh, was he?
Okay. He was back. Running those 94 feet with his knees up to his pecs. Terrence Shannon, jersey retirement. He went to Illinois. They did to Terrence Shannon what Delta did to those 80 passengers in Toronto. They turned his jersey upside down. It was his jersey retirement, which he just ended last year. I think he was a tech transfer. Also had some controversy in his career. But they retired his jersey over the weekend, and when they lifted it to the rafters, it was upside down.
Just made the list.
Fight Illini. You made the list. It's not sophisticated Illini. It's not smart Illini. It's fighting Illini, and I think they proved that.
Yeah, that's just a horrible... Normally, they do like a dress rehearsal for that. I mean, how do you not know that ahead of time and avoid that kind of embarrassment? That's ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Let's see who else makes the list here. Saturday Night Live. Saturday Night Live did their 50th anniversary show. It was such a celebration of Saturday Night Live. I mean, it's been around forever. 50th anniversary. How many shows do they do a year? Maybe 20?
20-something, yeah.
20, so they've had, 1,000 shows, roughly?
Yeah. They said because
I think so. I know they said there's they've had 800-something hosts. Yeah.
But and they've had multiple hosts.
Well, right.
So they might have had over 1,000.
It might be over 1,000.
So roughly 1,000 Saturday Night Lives. It's probably the biggest milestone show they've ever had for Saturday Night Live.
Right.
What day did they have it?
The Sunday. Better TV night?
They had it on Sunday.
Sunday.
It's Saturday. Your whole existence is built from Saturday
night. Sunday's a better TV night.
Sunday?
Sunday's a better TV night. It's always been.
Bad take.
It's always been.
Saturday's... It's like having a morning show in the afternoon and an afternoon show in the morning.
If it was a better time slot, sure. Put the celebration in the best time slot you can.
No.
Sunday night is
Saturday night prime time is still big with people, and also you can record it if you don't like it.
You're spitting in the face of your Saturday night audience by holding it on Sunday night. What if people don't watch TV on Sunday night? You're insulted now. You've had all of these Saturday night viewers that have watched 1,000 of your episodes for 50 years, and then all of a sudden you move it to Sunday night?
I think you're the only person in America bothered by this.
Did they also have a Saturday Night Live that week?
No.
And you know the other Bad Take Boulevard on that? Local KPRC Channel 2 cut out 15 minutes early.
I heard about that.
They went right to the news after there was still at least 15 minutes to go in the show, and then they had to apologize, and they're going to try and rerun the whole thing now because they didn't run the final 15 minutes.
Why didn't they run the 15 minutes?
I don't know if it was like one of those automated systems, and they went right to the news at that point.
But they had a hard out, and they didn't hit it?
Evidently, they didn't know what the hard out was, but the people in New York were still going.
Are we sure that Sunday night's a better TV night than Saturday night?
Absolutely. Or at least classically it has. Now
I think Jeremy's right. Classically, back in the day.
Our viewing patterns have changed,
all the PLEs are moving to Saturday.
True. Yeah, I mean.
All the UFC fights on Saturday. I think Saturday.
Saturday night has always been primetime viewing because they don't have to get up for work the next day.
Now you would think, well, Sunday they're at home, Saturday they might be out and about.
That was always the classic thinking. Saturday night and Friday night are nights you go out. Sunday night you're at home with the family. So Sunday night was the better TV night.
Yeah, I'm not sure about this, but it's just weird. Saturday Night Live, biggest anniversary show we've ever got, and we're going to move it to Sunday.
Super Bowl's on Sunday.
Yeah, but everybody's watching the Super Bowl. That doesn't matter, though.
Best TV night.
There's some things that are so big, it doesn't matter the night that it's on.
Put the Super Bowl on Wednesday night. Everybody's watching.
I know. That's not my point, though. They chose to put it on Sunday because it's the best night.
I don't think that's the case.
They play all year long.
I don't think so.
It's part of it.
I don't think so.
Prove me wrong.
Well, all their games are on Sunday.
No, they have Thursday games and Monday games.
Not when they started the existence of the league.
The very first game was on Sunday. I have no idea. Are we going back to the 20s now?
Well, that's what, yeah, because it started.
All they used to have was Sundays, Sunday afternoons, and one Monday night football game.
The 20s were not in the Super Bowl era.
Okay. Tell me more about when Bart Starr played. I don't know.
I don't care. Because he was a Packer.
Bart Starr was a Packer, yes.
That's why we'd have to ask Blinkers. It had to do with age. Solely to do with the fan base.
I never saw Bart play. My dad did, but I know that they won like 13 world championships.
The dumbest mock trade I've ever seen. The football forever. Never heard of them, and I wonder why. They suggested the Houston Texans trade Will Anderson in a first-round pick to Cleveland for Miles Garrett in a third-round pick.
That's insane.
Yeah, football just, fever.
Yes, ridiculous.
Actually, you know what? Football fever, you've earned a mute. That's what I do with people. I don't block people. I don't give them satisfaction, but I mute them so I don't see any of their stuff. And you made the list.
You just made the list.
Football forever is football no more for me. King of Twitch said that he would trade Yiner Diaz, Jeremy Pena, a prospect for Carlos Correa. King of Twitch, you make the list.
You just made the list.
Right now, going into this year?
Yeah, so like earlier this week. Soriano on YouTube. Disagree on the Ring of Honor take. DeAndre Hopkins asked to leave Houston when things got bad tough. That automatically disqualifies DeAndre Hopkins. So, Soriano, you made the list for saying DeAndre Hopkins.
You just made the list!
Honor. I mean, are we not going to let J.J. Watt into the Ring of Honor? I mean, we already did, but he has to get out, too.
Do we know if DeAndre even asked out, too? Wasn't that just Bill O'Brien shipping him out?
Yes.
I think he wanted more money.
But
yeah, I think it was Bill O'Brien sending him out.
I think he would have accepted a contract that he liked here.
For sure.
Lance Erlein for thinking that Fred VanVleet was left-handed. we didn't get to all of them last week because it was so good.
Remember, we bashed Carl Ravitch? All right.
Somebody tweeted me the other day, like, it was a Texas basketball game. He's like, I can't watch this because Carl Ravitch is calling in. You ruined him for me. Good. Joe George, he's on the list for Kevin Durant. Said that he would trade Kevin Durant for Jabari and a couple of firsts. Totally.
You just made the list.
The value of Kevin Durant. Battery Chuck makes the list. I guarantee it now. He, Bregman, will get 6 years and more than Chapman from some team other than the Astros. Write it down. So I wrote
you
it
just
down.
Made the list.
I'm using it against him on Bad Take Boulevard because he made the list. How many years did Bregman get?
Four.
Three, right?
Three.
Four. Oh, yeah, three. Yeah.
So convinced that it was four.
And I was closer than six.
It could potentially be one because he has an opt-out.
Right, he can opt out. I was going to say he'll get more money.
Yeah, so all of you, you made the list. That does it for Bad Take Boulevard. Coming up next, I saw Roosh tweet about this. The greatest play in Houston pro sports history. I have a top five. I'll give that to you next. It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.